Section 7. Persons having religious affections of many kinds, accompanying one another, is not sufficient to determine whether they have any gracious affections or no. Though false religion is wont to be maimed and monstrous, and not to have that entireness and symmetry of parts, which is to be seen in true religion, yet there may be a great variety of false affections together, that may resemble gracious affections. It is evident that there are counterfeits of all kinds of gracious affections, as of love to God, and love to the brethren, as just now observed. So of godly sorrow for sin, as in Pharaoh, Saul, Ahab, and the children of Israel in the wilderness. 441 And of the fear of God, as in the Samaritans, who feared the Lord, and served their own gods at the same time, 2 Kings 17:32, 33 And those enemies of God we read of, Psalm 66:3, who through the greatness of God's power, submit themselves to Him, or, as it is in the Hebrew, lie unto Him, 1 E. Yield a counterfeit reverence and submission so of gracious gratitude, as in the children of Israel, who sang God's praise at the Red Sea, Psalm 106:12 and Naaman, the Syrian, after his miraculous cure of his leprosy, 2 Kings 5:15, etc. So of spiritual joy, as in the stony ground hearers, Matthew 13:20 and particularly many of John the Baptist's hearers, John 5:35. So of zeal, as in Jehu, 2 Kings 10:6 and in Paul before his conversion, Galatians 1:14. Philippians 3:6 and the unbelieving Jews, Acts 22:3. Romans 10:2. So graceless persons may have earnest religious desires, which may be like Balaam's desires, which he expresses under an extraordinary view of the happy state of God's people, as distinguished from all the rest of the world, Numbers 23:9, 10. They may also have a strong hope of eternal life, as the Pharisees had. And as men, while in a state of nature, are capable of a resemblance of all kinds of religious affection, so nothing hinders but that they may have many of them together. And what appears, in fact, abundantly evinces that it is thus very often. Commonly, when false affections are raised high, many of them attend each other. The multitude that attended Christ into Jerusalem, after that great miracle of raising Lazarus, seemed to be moved with many religious affections at once, and all in a high degree. They seemed to be filled with admiration. And there was a show of high affection of love. Also a great degree of reverence, in their laying their garments on the ground for Christ to tread upon. They express great gratitude to Him, for the great and good works He had wrought, praising Him with loud voices for His salvation. And earnest desires of the coming of God's kingdom, which they supposed Jesus was now about to set up. And they showed great hopes and raised expectations of it, expecting it would immediately appear. Hence they were filled with joy, by which they were so animated in their acclamations, as to make the whole city ring again with the noise of them. And they appeared great in their zeal and forwardness to attend Jesus, and assist Him without further delay, now in the time of the great feast of the Passover, to set up His kingdom. It is easy from the nature of the affections, to give an account why, when one affection is raised very high, that it should excite others. Especially if the affection which is raised high, be that of counterfeit love, as it was in the multitude who cried Hosanna. This will naturally draw many other affections after it. For, as was observed before, love is the chief of the affections, and as it were, the fountain of them. Let us suppose a person, who has been for some time in great exercise and terror through fear of hell. His heart weakened with distress and dreadful apprehensions, upon the brink of despair. And who is all at once delivered, by being firmly made to believe, through some delusion of Satan, that God has pardoned him, and accepts him as the object of His dear love, and promises him eternal life. Suppose also, that this is done through some vision, or strong imagination suddenly excited in him, of a person with a beautiful countenance smiling on him, with arms open, and with blood dropping down, which the person conceives to be Christ, without any other enlightening of the understanding to give a view of the spiritual, divine excellency of Christ and His fullness, and of the way of salvation revealed in the gospel. Or, suppose some voice or words coming as if they were spoken to him, such as these, Son, be of good cheer, thy sins be forgiven thee. Or, Fear not, it is the Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom, which he takes to be immediately spoken by God to him. Though there was no preceding acceptance of Christ, or closing of the heart with him, I say, if we should suppose such a case, what various passions would naturally crowd at once, or one after another, into such a person's mind? It is easy to be accounted for, from the mere principles of nature, that a person's heart, on such an occasion, should be raised up to the skies with transports of joy, and be filled with fervent affection to that imaginary God or Redeemer, who, he supposes, has thus rescued him from the jaws of such dreadful destruction, and received him with such endearment, as a peculiar favorite. Is it any wonder that now he should be filled with admiration and gratitude, his mouth should be opened, and be full of talk about what he has experienced? That, for a while, he should think and speak of scarce anything else, should seem to magnify that God who has done so much for him, call upon others to rejoice with him, appear with a cheerful countenance, and talk with a loud voice? That, however, before his deliverance, he was full of quarrelings against the justice of God, now it should be easy for him to submit to God, own his unworthiness, cry out against himself, appear to be very humble before God, and yet his feet as tame as a lamb. Now confessing his unworthiness, and crying out, "Why me? Why me?" Thus Saul, who, when Samuel told him that God had appointed him to be king, makes answer, "Am not I a Benjamite, of the smallest of the tribes of Israel, and my family the least of all the families of the tribe of Benjamin? Wherefore then speakest thou so to me?" 440 too much in the language of David, the true saint, 2 Samuel 7:18. Who am I, and what is my father's house, that thou hast brought me hitherto? Is it to be wondered at, that now he should delight to be with them who acknowledge and applaud his happy circumstances, and that he should love all such as esteem and admire him and what he has experienced? That he should have violent zeal against all who make nothing of such things, be disposed openly to separate, and as it were to proclaim war with all who are not of his party? That he should now glory in his sufferings, and be very much for condemning and censoring all who seem to doubt, or make any difficulty of these things? And, while the warmth of his affections last, that he should be mighty forward to take pains, and to deny himself, and to promote the interest of a party favoring such things? Or that he should seem earnestly desirous to increase the number of them, as the Pharisees compassed sea and land to make one proselyte? 443 I might mention many other things, which will naturally arise in such circumstances. He must have but slightly considered human nature, who thinks that such things as these cannot arise in this manner, without any supernatural interposition of divine power. As from true divine love flow all Christian affections, so from counterfeit love naturally flow other false affections. In both cases, love is the fountain, and the other affections are the streams. The various faculties, principles, and affections of the human nature are as it were many channels from one fountain. If there be sweet water in the fountain, sweet water will flow out into those various channels. But if the water in the fountain be poisonous, then poisonous streams will also flow into all those channels. So that the channels and streams will be alike, corresponding one with another. But the great difference will be in the nature of the water. Where man's nature may be compared to a tree with many branches, coming from one root, if the sap in the root be good, there will also be good sap distributed throughout the branches, and the fruit brought forth will be good and wholesome. But if the sap in the root and stalk be poisonous, so it will be in many branches, and the fruit will be deadly. The tree in both cases may be alike. There may be an exact resemblance in shape. But the difference is found only in eating the fruit. It is thus, in some measure at least, oftentimes between saints and hypocrites. There is sometimes a very great similitude between true and false experiences in their appearance, and in what is expressed by the subjects of them. The difference between them is much like the difference between the dreams of Pharaoh's chief butler and baker. They seem to be much alike, and some think that when Joseph interpreted the chief butler's dream, that he should be delivered from his imprisonment, and restored to the king's favor, and his honorable office in the palace, the chief baker had raised hopes and expectations, and told his dream also. But he was woefully disappointed. For though his dream was so much like the happy and well-boding dream of his companion, yet it was quite contrary in its issue.